You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. The lineup is now set for this year's FA Cup final. It will be Arsenal against Chelsea. After Frank Lampard's side beat Manchester United by 3-1, here to reflect on that Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley. Craig, I really enjoyed yesterday's semi-final, but today just felt so flat.
You enjoyed yesterday's semi-final?
It was good, it was intense, both teams going for it, but the changes you felt that that both teams made, in particular United, just kind of took the wind, I thought, out of the excitement of this game.
Well, they went for it in team selection, certainly Arsenal, but they didn't go for it in terms of performance. Shaka's sweating up there more than what Man City were at times in the game, but, you know, at the end of the day... He's not allowed to have his fan on. At the end of the day, Solskjaer made a decision, and you know, he left some of the big hitters out, and he changed the shape of the team. And it's been a front three that's been operating really well. In fact, Stevie mentioned in the week against Crystal Palace, it was the difference between the sides in getting the 3 points at Selhurst Park. He has got games coming up. He did have 48 hours less rest, which he rammed down everybody's throat, including his own players, who, by the way, looked as if some of them had given up at the end. There's no doubt about that. But the big thing for me as well was he's played a goalkeeper in the cup competitions, and then he left him out as well. I mean, what can he signal was that sending out? I'm playing not playing my strongest team, but I'm not playing my goalkeeper that's played in the cup competitions. I'm going to go back to David De Gea, who had another stinker. So it was a real mess for Manchester United.
OK, let's start then with the goalkeepers. You brought it up. Shaka, De Gea at fault for both of the goals?
The second in particular. Could have done better with the first, no question. It hit him quite full on. But this is, at times you sympathise when you don't have an awful lot of time to react. But then the second goal, that's just down to David De Gea. Hard to explain. I don't know what went wrong or how we got it that wrong.
The problem Manchester United have, obviously, Stevie, is that they've given David De Gea a new contract. He's on almost £400,000 a week. No one's going to take him off your hands at the moment. Yet United, with aspirations, looking towards the Champions League if they qualify next season, David De Gea is going to prove to be a big problem, isn't he?
Well, he hasn't been in the greatest of form. He certainly was awful today. But they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. What do? You can't go and spend a ton of money on a proper goalkeeper and pay this guy the amount of money that he's got. They're just going to have to hope that the goalie coach can work with him and try and build his confidence back up and try and lift him and try and do something similar to what they've done with Pogba. You know, the time we were talking about Pogba needs to leave, he will leave, he should leave, the team's no good with him in it. And they've turned that around. It's going to have to be something as big to turn David De Gea around as well, because right now, every time there's a shot at goal, you're wondering whether they can actually stop it, regardless of how hard it is or where it is.
Or you just bring in Henderson, Craig.
Yeah, you bring him back from Sheffield United, where he'll be coming back anyway, but then you're still stuck with a couple of players, one of them in Alexis Sanchez, who's on reportedly $500,000 a week, and you just mentioned somewhere around $400,000 a week. I mean, even for Manchester United, that's a heck of a lot of dough for a couple of players that are not going to be playing, whatever happens with Sanchez come the transfer window. So I think they're going to have to work with it for the time being. But look, you know, Lampard stuck with his thought process in terms of he plays Willy Caballero in goal in the cup competitions, but he only made one. Okay, he changed the shape of the team, but he only left out one key player, and that arguably has been their best player in Christian Pulisic.
Who he said had
all
a
the
bit
other
of
guys
a knock
more or less have been playing. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer left out Pogba, Martial, in Greenwood. That's been the hub of what Manchester United have been good at. That slick passing play, that link up with Fernandes. And he made that big decision because they're prioritising the top four, it seems. I mean, I'm sure everybody's prioritising the top four, easy for me to say. But they've got West Ham, who are safe at home in midweek. I mean, come on. This just says to me again, and I'll reiterate this for those Man United fans that just can't stomach me saying it. There is and will be, in my opinion, until proven otherwise, next year, when it comes to the crux fighting Liverpool and Man City, a question mark over this manager. And that remains. Today's result, but as a generalisation. And until he proves otherwise at this club, and toppling those clubs that I mentioned, that question mark's not going to go away.
There's no question. He was laying the groundwork for playing a weakened side today. And I don't get why you do that. You end up bringing all those so-called superstars on, play them for an hour, win the game and then take them off. I don't know how many times I've said it. And actually, if Ollie sat in his office and said to himself, right, how can I make a mess of this? Because you know what? We're flying. Nobody wants to play against us. We're scoring goals. Everything's great. Everybody's got a smile on their face. I know what I'll do. I'll play half a team, get it completely misjointed by changing the shape, and that should work well. And that's what he did. I'm sorry. Football clubs should be all about the result on the field. And to do that, you put your best team out. You don't try and be clever. And players and teams thrive on winning games and scoring goals. They don't thrive on losing semi-finals of the FA Cup and having an absolute disaster. And then on top of it, your so-called number one goalkeeper has a complete and utter shocker.
As Craig and Stevie say, Shaq, they've got West Ham, who are safe, who are already on the beach, who are happy. They know they're going to be in the Premier League next season on Wednesday at Old Trafford. This is a game that Manchester United should turn up and win comfortably. Today was a proper game, a chance to get into the final, a chance for Ollie to silence Craig and say, look, I've won the FA Cup, then we have that to pay. But at least you're giving it a go. The changes that you made, you knew were going to have an effect, and they did right from the start.
Look, the all-complaining Manchester United teams of old would have gone into this game to win it. Whether they did or not, the manager would have given them a chance to do that. Added to everything that both Craig and Stevie just said, keep in mind, he has five substitutes at his disposal. So play a stronger team. And if the game is won, if you're two up after an hour, you can make five changes and have an even better effect on this team in terms of their rest for the run-in. But you start the week off by offering the excuse that you have 48 hours less rest than Chelsea and making a big song and dance about that, giving the team an excuse to lose. Then you make the changes, in formation, and you lose. Now you have David De Gea going into the run-in with absolutely no confidence. You've got Sergio Romero, who's looking for the exit doors as quickly as he can find it. He's not going to be happy, not that he would have been called on between now and the end of the season anyway. And you've got everybody else in the dressing room looking around at each other, wondering, well, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? I mean, added to the mistakes with De Gea, and I think you saw it, especially after the second goal, is that defence starts to play within themselves because there's a breakdown of trust between the centre-backs, Lindelof and Maguire, and they had left a lot to be desired on the field as well. And the goalkeeper, you don't want to allow anybody to shoot from anywhere because all of a sudden it's starting to feel like things are going in as they once did. And now Manchester United have taken two steps back when, as much as they're still very much in pole position as compared to Leicester in qualifying for the top four, I think today's performance, the formation, has done more harm than good.
Dan, I expect United to beat West Ham. I mean, I would be surprised if they didn't. But sometimes when you get yourself safe in the Premier League, you don't go on the beach. You sort of play with a bit more freedom. And listen, if they, and it's a big if, but if they were to drop points or if they were to lose to West Ham at home, he's left the door open for people and United fans to say, well, that's the game we lost momentum. The semi-final of the FA Cup was the game when we lost that bit of momentum that we had garnished over the period since Christmas time and obviously since the restart. Because when the hell did a semi-final of an FA Cup become the time to make so many changes in the side? It really does beggar belief. And he's came unstuck in this one. It might work out for him in the end, but who knows?
Let's give some credit to Chelsea. Craig mentioned it. Frank Lampard putting out a relatively strong side. Pulisic rested, of course, because of an injury. But overall, by far the better team, despite the mistakes that we saw from United.
Chelsea weren't particularly great, by the way. I'll tell you, it was a toss of a coin who wanted to pass the ball to the opposition instead of their own team. And the fact of the matter is, yes, they got three goals. Two of them are complete and utter howlers, and the other one's an own goal. Listen, were Chelsea better than United? Yes. But I'll tell you what, they weren't much better. I mean, they couldn't string passes together to save their life, either the two of them. But yeah, slightly better, but I wouldn't get carried away. It's a win, and in the semi-final, it doesn't matter how good or bad you are. If you win, you'll take it.
Frank Lampard, now it looks set, obviously very much a favourite to qualify for the Champions League and an FA Cup final, Craig. I imagine many would have taken that at the start of the season.
Well, you say that, Dan, but the permutations for Frank Lampard are not that simple. Liverpool and Wolves are the two games to come. Would not be a shock if they were to take no points from those games. I mean, it just wouldn't. That's how much that is in the balance. When you look at the other side of the coin, United should beat West Ham. That puts them above Chelsea if they don't win the game. And then it comes down to if Leicester could beat Man United. I mean, there's a lot of big ifs. The disaster for Leicester today doesn't mean they're out of the competition. Out the running for the top four, primarily because who Chelsea have got left. So
They're not playing Liverpool, are they? You know, you look at what we've seen in Liverpool over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, it's a very different team.
Yeah, but it's still a Liverpool side that is better than this Chelsea side. And look, the worst thing that might have happened to Chelsea was Liverpool's lackluster, sloppy performance at Arsenal. Because I'm sure Klopp, while sort of brushing it under the carpet a little bit, would be saying, "Hey, let's not be having any more mistakes." I mean, don't expect Van Dijk and Alisson to make the same mistakes if they play. So that's all I'm saying. They're not playing a couple of sides in the bottom three. They're playing Wolves, still going for European places. They're playing Liverpool, who's looking for a reaction, and that means they're going to have to, I think, at least win one of those games. So it's not cut and dry. So the onus was on him today, really. If you're thinking about it that way, he should have been the man who left more players out than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because they have a more difficult run in. But he didn't. So he's got himself to a cup final in his first season with a transfer ban. I'll mention that again, just for those who don't understand it. And they're still fighting for the top four. But that top four, I think, is going to go right down to the wire.
Well, just a reminder, as a result of what we saw today play out between Spurs and Leicester, for Chelsea, it's simple. A victory against either Wolves or Liverpool will see them qualify for the Champions League next season. For Manchester United, it's a win against West Ham and then avoiding defeat against Leicester City. And then we could go down to the goal differential. It's interesting, isn't it? I think January 31st, Leicester City were 12 points ahead of Manchester United, Stevie. Yet Leicester have been in pretty much free fall, epitomised by another poor display today.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought the shutdown was going to benefit them because they were struggling to get wins, certainly. But when they restarted, they weren't any better. And then you add the injuries they have. I mean, today against Tottenham, you know, they had three of their back four missing. You know, Chilwell, Pereira, and of course Sunshow getting suspended. I mean, they can't afford to have anybody missing. You throw Maddison into that, him not playing, and then you've got young players coming in. So free fall is exactly the word. And you're talking about Chelsea having to try and get something at Wolves and Liverpool. I mean, I can't see how Leicester get anything against Manchester United. So I think it's going to be tough for Leicester to get in the top four.
Shaki, it just feels like Leicester are trying to hold on to a ledge and they just can't get one at the moment.
Yeah, and the fingers started to slip from before the break. And the challenge that I felt coming out of the enforced break is that when you have teams like Leicester and Sheffield United, who are, or certainly had been, greater than some of their parts, you're not quite sure what you're going to get when you come out the other side of that break. And you've seen both of those teams struggle and be inconsistent. And you feel sorry for Leicester in that circumstance. Don't have the resources to compete with the others around them, yet have done so well to be in the position that they're in. But I'm with Craig and Stevie. As good as the first part of the season has been, and as disappointing as this second bit has been coming out of the break, I think it finishes up in heartbreak for them. I don't see how they stay top four.
Of course, they do face United on the final day of the season, and given what happens in that match against West Ham, Craig, it could be winner-takes-all time.
Yeah, and look, the only start that matters is the start it says, Tottenham 3, Leicester 0. And we've always said that. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. But you look at the actual match stats, and bearing in mind the injuries that Stevie mentioned, and for long periods since the restart, they've really struggled without the fullbacks, particularly the right back. And that's been an issue for them. But, 70% possession with half a team at Tottenham with 24 efforts on goal tells you it wasn't actually a terrible performance going forward. But they got cut open at the back when Tottenham hit them on the counter. So they're going to have to get as many of these players back. But listen, United are not infallible. We've seen that. They've been on a great run, but I think it has papered over some of the cracks. And we saw some of those cracks today, even though they've made changes. It would not be a big surprise if it comes down to the last game of the season if either of those sides took the points, because Leicester are a decent side. They've just hit a problematic period. And it's up to Brendan Rodgers to try and find a way out of it for his squad. And that's going to come down to who's going to be available for him, if they can still go into that last game having a chance to finish in the top four. So we'll see what happens.
And we saw Craig Harry Kane add a couple more goals to put on his showreel for the summer.
Yeah, what can I say? I mean, not a lot of possession in the game, but a couple of goals, Mourinho will roll that out. We know the guy when fit, and he's now getting up to full fitness since the injury problems. We know he's up there with some of the best in the business at sticking it in the back of the net, and people will pay a premium for that. I'm sure some will be sniffing about Daniel. It's whether Mourinho can convince Daniel Levy not to accept any bids, potential bids that come their way. But it has to be hard for Harry Kane not to be having a peek out the window and seeing some of those big clubs and who's going to be looking for him. And he has to be interested. He surely has to be interested in a move away this summer. And I would be surprised if a few bids don't come in for him.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from the boys on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel as they answer some of your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Any hope then of Inter catching Juve at the top of the table surely extinguished after Conte's side only managed a 2-2 draw against Roma on Sunday. For a lot more on what happened in that game, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available on Monday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Final games in Spain today. Real Madrid finishing their season with a 2-2 draw against Leganés. Meanwhile, Barcelona defeating Alaves by 5-0. Significant that draw between Leganés and Real Madrid because Leganés will be relegated. They needed a win. They join Mallorca and Espanyol in the Segunda next season. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire, you need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Be sure to join us on tomorrow's show. Always great to have the energy of Yanar Fjortov. He'll be here to reflect on what we saw in the FA Cup this weekend. But that brings us to the end of today's programme. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Be sure, though, to stay tuned for extra time. Stevie, Craig and Shaq are with me. I asked Craig about his high-profile mistake in the FA Cup semi-final. He takes it very well. What a treat today. Stevie, Craig and Shaka all on extra time to answer your tweets. The first one is from friend of the show, Yanar Fjortov. Shaka, can you play for United on Wednesday?
Oh, man. I was tempted to dust my gloves off. I'm not going to lie.
How can De Gea be that bad?
And you're sitting... I don't know. Every now and then, he makes these glaring errors where... Listen, even the best of keepers make one or two a season, but he's up there in the five or six a season region now, and that's simply not good enough. Despite how good otherwise you may be, and I'm not saying that he's been back to his brilliant best by any stretch of the imagination, you can't be making that number of just very simple, basic mistakes. It's costing United very dearly.
How do you react as a player in the dressing room afterwards with your goalkeeper, Craig, after he's done that?
Nothing.
Nothing?
You can't.
I suppose you made a big mistake in FA Cup semi-final as well. Like, how did they react to you? Is it just kind of part of the game?
Part of the game will be me driving, like last week, when I was threatening Seb Salazar, I will get in my car today, drive to Bristol, and throttle you for your smart aleck comment.
I feel like it was a relevant comment. FA Cup semi-final mistake just seemed to go hand in hand.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to have a go at you for making a mistake. Right. So, because mistakes happen. And as I remind you many times, Daniel, as a wise man said, the man that never makes a mistake never makes anything.
Yes, very true. I made a mistake yesterday, and that is the tweet that is about to be read out. Since Dan was wrong about Manchester United and Chelsea starting their strongest squads in the FA Cup semi-final, the boys should let the abuse fly. Dan was pretty adamant yesterday that both teams would have had their strongest squads. Well, it was Don who brought it up, and I didn't understand why they would rest players. And then Don WhatsApped me, by the way, today, going, I told you so. Teams normally do this in the FA Cup, as if I've never seen an FA Cup game in my life.
Don asked to come on so that we could all pat him on the back.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
or is he too, busy massaging Frank Lampard?
Yes.
Don, hold on a second. You're making this out as if you said to Don, oh, Don, really? Do you think that's going to happen? That's not what you did. You went... What are you talking about? Giving your old smarty pants voice and sniggery face and all that, giving it. We don't talk a lot of nonsense. So don't try and kid us on or everybody else that was one of those. Oh, I don't understand that. You were trying to be clever and you got caught out.
But I was right in the wrong way. He should have played his strongest squad. Then they would have had a better chance of winning.
If that's what you want to take away from what you just said, then.
Well, apparently a wise man...
I was right in the wrong way.
A wise man...
Well, Chelsea played the strongest team,
But two wrongs don't make it right.
Yeah, Chelsea went strong, didn't they? Pulisic was an injury, so... There you are. Don.
Chelsea went strong, United didn't, and they lost. So Don was only half right.
Maguire, worst 80 million
and
signing...
And Dan was only half wrong.
Maguire, worst 80 million signing of all time.
Do you know, somebody sent us, this is what you get on Twitter, right? Last week, when Virgil van Dijk, I was telling Stevie this, last week when Virgil van Dijk made that error again, and even if you say it was an error, there was an argument to say the Arsenal player had pulled his arm back for a free kick. But even if you say no, let's call it an error by Virgil van Dijk. Somebody tweeted me with stats from Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
And Virgil van Dijk and compared them, and I nearly lost the will to live.
Yes.
I nearly lost the will to live, because if these people believe that, these people believe some of these nonsense stats that are relevant to the player, then what chance have we got trying to explain to them? Really?
Shaka, do you remember any performance you have had as bad as De Gea today?
I've had many performances as bad as De Gea.
This is one of
the very hard on forgetting them. Thank you very much. Yeah, listen.
It's not a big game, Shaq. It's not a big game, though.
Yeah. No, not in a game of that magnitude. Certainly not. No.
Shaq, have you ever made any mistakes in a game of this magnitude?
Shaq, when the ball used to get in the net, did you used to turn and go, oh, good Lord?
I hope, used to sit there.
I hope you do it, all your comrades. Hey, all your comrades, Shaq, they all do the same thing. They turn round, they pick out somebody and then start shouting at them and pointing the finger at them.
Yeah,
try and take the blame away from you.
That's right. You just start abusing me right back or something, actually, just randomly.
Do you know, while I'm on about goalies, Shaka, you know what I hate? I love the classic people like a Ray Clements or a Shilts, who will make a
more
save.
Relevant.
They'll get up, cool and calm, and then that's it. And then you got all these people that look at Pickford. He's the worst ever. He makes a save, and he hasn't even got himself off the ground, but he's screaming at somebody and trying to give it one of these and you and do this and do that. Like, it's right up my waz, that. So it does.
Dan. Yeah. Dan. Any chance we can cut his connection?
Right. Does Craig still think Mourinho is finished? The game has passed him by, was his words a few weeks ago.
Ooh. Didn't say that.
Well, this person's put quote marks. He must have said it.
Sorry?
This person's quoted you, so you must have said it. You must be
well,
right.
Just because he's put quote marks on doesn't mean I said it. I said the game may have passed him by.
I forgot May.
I didn't say the game has passed him by. I said the way his teams are playing, maybe the game has passed him by, the way his team's playing.
What do you
I would hasten to add, getting the odd result here and there and beating half Leicester team at home is proof that Tottenham Hotspur and Jose Mourinho are back. I hardly think so.
Stevie, what do you make of Watford sacking Nigel Pearson two games before the end of the season one and while in a relegation battle?
Well, I think you've got to look at the way they do business, Watford, as far as the managers. And as soon as they've lost any confidence in them, you just get rid of them. And I'm sure the thinking is, well, you know what? Nothing's changing. You know, there was an initial bounce where they won games, but ever since then, it just seems to have been downhill pretty much. And so with two games to go, I think they're just maybe trying to manufacture another jump for the players to actually step up and win some games. Unfortunately, they got City coming next. So I fail to see how that's going to change anything. But then, of course, they could beat Arsenal in the last game of the season. So there's no question they probably decided that they were not keeping him next year, regardless. And so they're probably thinking, let's try and get somebody in and see if they can give us a new face bounce. So it was goodbye for him.
What do you think, Craig?
Well, bearing in mind they just won the two games before the West Ham game.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you all you need to know about the way this football club is run. And Steve is right, though. That's how they make decisions. That's how they do their business. And that's their choice. But you bring the guy in, you know he's capable of doing the job. And you have a bad, really bad night at the office. Off the back of picking up 6 points, two straight wins. And then you just sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think it's harsh on Nigel Pearson, I really do, but unsurprising in the way that they do business. If they just lost the last three games and they were still in the hunt to stay up, I could understand that, but they hadn't. They'd had one really bad night at West Ham off the back of two wins. That's harsh.
Final question, Steve. As a coach, did you ever wish you could bring on yourself into a game to change things?
Well, if I'd been 20 years younger and I'd been managing then, yes.
But Sheffield Wednesday, that, you were a coach at Wednesday, weren't you, Stevie? You could have brought yourself on then.
I was a coach at Notts County.
There you go.
Yeah,
and I was actually the player manager.
Oh, perfect.
I was a player manager. So I didn't bring myself on, I actually started myself.
And then did you bring yourself off often?
I actually did. I took myself off once against Luton away. And I came off and I sat down and one of the coaches who were already there turned to me and said, "What did you bring yourself up for?" He said, "You were our best player." I was like, "What?" It's too late.
Hey, Dan, here's a scenario. He selected himself as the manager for Notts County for the game, and he had a beer the night before a game, and he dropped himself for having a beer the night before a game.
Hey, by the way.
Can you imagine that scenario?
Did you hear that? Did I ever tell you the story with Tommy Smith and John Toshack? So John Toshack's the manager.
Right.
And Tommy Smith, the legendary Tommy Smith of Liverpool, is playing for John Toshack at Swansea. And so with 20 minutes to go in a game, the ball goes up and Toshack's got Smithy's number. So Smithy's not happy. So Smithy's going off and he notices that it's Toshack that's coming on for him. So Smithy goes off and on the way off, Toshack goes, "Hey, Tommy, you're in charge. Whatever you think, just get it, just do it." Tommy's like, "Ah, yeah, don't worry about that." Anyway, there was about 3 minutes left in the game and the ball goes up and it's Toshack's number. Tommy's like, "Ah, get yourself out."
That's brilliant.
Nice one, Stevie. Good stuff.
And he came off. Hey, he actually came off.
That is it. That brings to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, guys. And we'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.